Welcome to the Luke Simons podcast. In today's episode, I have Coach O with me. I'm going to let him share his name because I'm going to butcher his name on this. O, what's your full name, mate?
My name is Oren McCarry, but it's spelled kind of funny, right? So it's spelled O-D-H-R-A-N, but the D-H is silent. So it's like you're saying O-R-A-N. So it's Oren.
Oren. Yeah, because well, we Coach just call you Coach
O. O is fine. Even if you drop the coach, just call me O. It's fine.
Yeah, I just call you Coach O. We've been working together for quite a while now in terms of content creation and marketing and all that sort of stuff. But pretty much I wanted to get you on today's podcast and talk about pretty much because you started fresh coming from back home, and we'll go into your story in a little bit, but like the biggest takeaways I want to talk to about with you on this podcast is how to start up your personal training business from scratch in a sense. So what we'll do is before we get into that, I'll ask you if you can give a little bit of a brief introduction about yourself and your story and where you came from and all that sort of stuff. That would be great, man.
Yeah. So my name is Oren McCarry. Like I said, I've been in the industry probably from 2005, 2006. Maybe slightly earlier than that, actually. So I've been about 15 years in the industry in multiple roles as lifeguard, fitness instructor, uni degrees, and then PT courses where I'm now living the dream as an online coach and part-time PT. But yeah, I was your typical sort of nerdy kid, I would say. I was kind of a little bit overweight, wasn't the best at sports, and then everything that comes along with that in terms of, you know, you feel kind of out of place, you're always the last one picked for sports teams, all those sort of things, which anyone who isn't the most athletic will kind of understand. So it wasn't until I got into the gym at around maybe 15 that I sort of, that's 17 years ago. Wow, that makes me feel old. But that's whenever I started to find a love for it. I think it was the fact that it was something for me. It was my time. It was me trying to get better, stronger, leaner, rather than like a team sport where everything that you do kind of like affects the result and how everyone goes on the day. So if you fuck up, it's basically ruining everyone else's day. Maybe that's what I didn't like about sports, why I didn't pursue them. But I always played sports, but just never really to a high level. Started working as a lifeguard, went to uni in Liverpool, John Moores, which was the number one in the UK for sports science at that time. That was 2006 to 2009. Came out of that with a fitness instructor's course as well as a degree. And just started working in a gym where it was literally, you'd come in, you're a new member, I'd write you a program. This is 3 sets of 10 on the shoulder press machine, 3 sets of 10 on the chest press. And I was getting paid a decent wage. It was more than minimum wage for that. It was literally just showing people how to use equipment, writing the programs and sitting behind a desk, like on the internet, like looking up MMA articles and fitness articles and everything else. So I actually didn't want to do my PT course. It was a friend of mine who worked in the same gym who said to me that he wanted to do it part-time over like 6 months where you go up 2 days a week to Belfast. And because it was about an hour's drive, he just wanted me to come along, split the journey, split the petrol. I was like, okay, yeah, well, it was a cheap enough course too. It was only like £600 for the qualification. I was like, okay, let's do it. So I went and done it, started PTing, you know, privately, training friends, pretty cheap rates. Then sort of branched out onto my own and sort of had my own small studio. To cut a long story short, then 3 years later, moved to Glasgow for a new change after a relationship ended. Met my wife in Glasgow, moved here in 2018. And then I've been working here ever since. And I think this is where we're going to stay. So I've kind of, we spoke about this before, where I've been in a unique position where since I was about 20, I haven't been in the same country for more than 3 years. So I've kind of had to always rebuild things. So it's like went to uni, probably could have stayed in Liverpool, knew loads of people and got a job as a PT and was actually offered a job there, but decided to move home, then moved home, built this awesome business, then decided to move to Glasgow, then moved to Glasgow, built an awesome business, met my wife, we got sick of the weather, decided to move to Perth, and then now it's like building up here. We're gaining that recognition here now, 3 years in, as a decent hitter in the Perth fitness scene, I'd like to think so.
Oh, definitely, man. Your name pops up a lot speaking to people in the fitness industry within Perth. And I think you've made a pretty big splash. You know, there's a lot of people in the industry who's been in for much longer than you, but you've made a bit of a splash into the fitness industry in Perth. So before we move on, like, lessons learned from opening up your studio, from going from that PT job, that first PT job, to opening your studio, what was the difference between working at a safe position to now reaching out to your own kind of studio?
Yeah, well, the thing was, it wasn't meant to be a big operation. It was just literally wasn't a massive place. It was a little kind of old office that was attached to that community center, and the rent was cheap. The whole building was run by like the community center. So you had like a hairdresser, you had a maybe a beautician, you had me, you had like a little corner shop. So the rent wasn't that expensive. So it was quite easy to make a little bit of money. But then obviously I was quite isolated. It was like in the middle of a housing estate. You were kind of away from the established gym, where it was like people knew the gym as a good gym and the PT that came with that. So you kind of had to learn your own marketing. You had to learn how to present yourself there. Pricing strategies, social media strategies, everything else. I've really been doing like business probably from about 2011, 2012. And we were always tweaking things. Like, it was a small space, but we were kind of different, like thinking of different ways to be outside the box and like make money. Like, I think here's a funny story. So I think it was relationship ended in like July, August time, 2013. Just went through a bit of a body transformation after that. I hired a coach. That's got me into the bodybuilding side of things. And then I wrote a business plan, right, in about November time. And it was for how I can earn out of this small shitbox studio, how to earn £100,000, which is about what, 200 grand, roughly Australian dollars. Write that business plan. Like, I can make this work. Like, especially if I get a bigger gym, I can make this work even better. So I was like, okay. 2 weeks after that, decided I'm going to move to Glasgow. So who writes a business plan, earn 100 grand, and then decides, nah, fuck it, I'm just going to move to somewhere where nobody knows me. I literally had one friend in Glasgow.
Oh man, so it's kind of cool in a sense, because like you said, you've been doing business like for a long time now, almost, you know, coming up to a decade now. And you know, it's funny because personal training, people get into the scene because, you know, they love what they do or they love the health and fitness industry, but they don't realize what comes with it. It's the business, it's the marketing. So realistically, moving to your own studio, you had to learn marketing, you had to learn positioning, pricing strategies, all that sort of stuff. You had to learn how to position yourself within the marketplace to then show other people on social media or whatever platforms you were using, hey, you should come train with me. So it's like you've been kind of getting this free, or not free, but like this marketing course kind of diploma along the way.
Yeah, 100%. And like back then, like business coaching and stuff wasn't massive. I was part of a few masterminds who I was lucky enough to get in with the right people, and they taught you, you know, pricing, different things you could do to earn money, either group training or one-to-one. So like, I've been doing this for long enough, but then you kind of forget a lot of it as well. Like, I used to know how to run ads a lot, and I used to do all my own stuff, and that's something I wouldn't even touch now by myself. Like, I think you can learn enough about business, but you've got to learn more about the service and the knowledge as well. So you've got to divide your time up wisely. And when you get to a level where you are earning enough that you can hire somebody, like, for example, me and you've been doing video for 4 or 5 months now, maybe. Like, yep. I could easily just buy a camera and learn how to do it all myself, but that's just a waste of my time.
Yeah.
So I'd far rather just pay you and just get it done, and get it done professionally.
That's exactly right. Like, and same with me in a sense of I've hired multiple trainers. I've hired PT studios. I've done multiple things within the health scene because yes, I know how to do it and I know how to train, but it doesn't come close to what you would get with a personal trainer. It doesn't come close to it. So in terms of like when you, because you're now working at Doherty's in Perth, that's correct, right? Yep, perfect. So when you first came to Perth and then you signed up to Doherty's, what's your biggest tips to kind of give up and coming personal trainers just starting out fresh in say a new gym or they're just starting their new career? What was the biggest kind of takeaways that you learned when starting pretty much a whole new business from scratch?
There's a couple. The first one is probably like, don't be scared of jumping into it, right? And here's a story. I don't even know if I've told many people this, but I nearly didn't work in Doherty's, right? Because Doherty's was my dream place to work in. It was the only gym chain I knew in Australia because of the whole bodybuilding Tony Doherty connection. And there wasn't any in Perth, right? So we considered Melbourne for like a second before we realized how shit the weather was. And we were like, no, it's Brisbane or Perth. And my wife, she's a dentist. So she's the one who got us the visa to come out here. So I was like, listen, it's up to you. Where can you get work? Where do you want to go? They both look pretty good. She landed on Perth. About 2 weeks later, Doherty's Perth popped up through somebody I started following in Perth. And I was like, no way, they're opening one. I was mid-workout at the time. And I remember just dropping the dumbbells. And I messaged them. And I was like, hey, I'm moving to Perth like December, January time. Like, are you guys going to have room for me? So we went back and forth. They said, listen, it's still a few months away. Like, just contact us when you get here. So anyway, time goes on and I noticed they're posting up saying, listen, we're nearly full for trainers. And then I was like, fuck, these guys are going to be so pumped with people wanting to coach there. Like they'll fill all the spots before I even get out there to talk to them. So I sent an email in, which got missed. Obviously they're doing all this renovation of the gym. They've got all this stuff to do. And all the boys, the managers at Doherty's done a lot of that themselves. So it got missed. I think maybe even they might have hired a manager that then didn't last long and maybe they just didn't reply to the email, whatever happened. So I landed in Perth with no word from these guys back. I was like, oh, they're probably not interested in this. You know, went for a few interviews, had like 7 or 8 job interviews around Perth. All offered me jobs pretty much on the spot. And I was holding off. I was like, let's see where we want to live and different things. And then one day I walked my missus to the train in the city. We were staying in an Airbnb. And I just thought, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to ring these guys. Like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? They're going to tell me, nah, we're full. I'm sorry. Like, you missed your chance. Piss off, basically. So I rang Damon, the manager. He's like, I was just talking to my business partner last week, wondering what happened to the Irish guy. So I've been in Perth for 3 weeks, hadn't contacted them because I thought, oh, they don't want me. And then I just had the balls actually ring them up and be like, well, hang on a second. Like, what's happening? Is there a spot for me or not? And if I hadn't decided on that day to make that call, I would have been working, and no offense to any other gyms, I would have been working at Revo or Good Life or Snap or whatever, but I wouldn't be working in Doherty's, which was my dream job, right?
Yeah.
So probably the first thing to do would be to identify where you want to work and just have the balls to go all in on it, right? When you're in there, you can make things happen in terms of, you like literally I sat there all day. I would literally come in at 6 a.m, whether I had clients or not. I'd sit at the desks. I would sit with my laptop as if I was doing work. Could have been on Facebook, could have been on YouTube. Doesn't matter. It looked like I'm sitting doing work professionally. If anyone came in for a tour, guess who's going to get, you know, the tour. So the guys behind the desk were like, hey, do you want to take this tour? Cause I'm just sitting there. Right. So I took so many tours and then you say, well, what's your goals? You know, what do you like to do? What style of training do you currently train like? What machines do you like to use? And you get a bit of a conversation going and then might lead on a conversation about personal training. Or if they don't join up that day, then guess who's top of mind 2 weeks later whenever they've been training for 2 weeks and you're the guy who's giving them the awesome tour. So I was just hanging around all day, every day. I would go home. I would train. I'd go home for a little bit, but I'd literally be in the gym all day. And I think that work ethic made the owners want to give me more clients. Like they'd give me all the leads that would come in that day because they seen that I was here and I wanted to build a business and I wasn't just being lazy, right?
Yeah.
So one, you got to be prepared to work when you get in there as well. And also just be friendly. Like if you're hanging about, just say hi to people. Like I've got, and this is an issue that people have, like, I don't like to talk to people unless you make clear eye contact, right? Where it's like, oh, hi. Like you clearly lock eyes with them and then you're like, hi. But sometimes you just got to go out of your way a little bit. some people might have the personality to actually go up and be like, hey, my name's Luke. Like, I do video here for Doherty's. Like, you know, do you need videos done? Or, you know, if you're in, like, filming with stuff for me for the gym, you then talk to one of the other PTs and might get a job that way. It's the same with PTs who then talk to members on the gym floor, give them a spot, just give them a little nod or a smile or whatever. And then they think, hey, that guy's actually pretty sound. You know, he's always smiling, always happy. And just bring your energy and bring the passion, bring the commitment to the job every single day.
Yeah, 100% attitude, man. Like, you got to have a good attitude when you come in here. Sometimes, like, you might have a shit day, but you got to fake it till you make it, in a sense of, if you come in with a shit attitude, like, that's going to rub off to everyone. And, you know, you're the one at the front of the queue, pretty much, that everyone, when someone walks into a gym, they need to see you. And you're like, if you're constantly there, and that's what, like, obviously when I was working in gyms, and my role within the gym was to kind of get the PTs up to speed, like, make sure, okay, cool. Like, what are they doing? How do we make sure that they're successful? And one of the biggest things that they didn't expect, or they realized when they got to the job, was, oh, wow, I have to be here 24/7 at the start. Yes, that's kind of what you need to do. And you need to commit to that. You need to commit to being there constantly, because as soon as new people walk in, like you said, you know, they're going to have questions that need to be answered. And if you're there constantly helping them, you know, you're going to be top of mind as soon as they think, oh, wait, actually, you know what? I actually can't do this by myself. I need O, who helped me out at the start there. And if you're hanging around still, they're going to come up to you and they feel more confident in reaching out to you because you've helped them before. So I think that's a massive thing. And like you said, the attitude as well, always having a smile and always being around, helping people out, not expecting too much, but always being there for others. I reckon that's the quickest way to kind of get full as being a PT.
Yeah, 100%, man. And I actually, somebody reached out to me after COVID when the gym's reopened. He's like, hey, man, I've been following you for a while. Like, I'm starting my first ever PT job. Like, this is what, June? And he's like, you got any tips? And I was like, mate, the simplest tip I can give you is show up every day, be prepared to work, and just fucking talk to people. And yeah, he messaged me like 2 months later saying, hey, bro, I'm pretty much nearly full for PT. Thanks for the shout out. I think my systems could be better though. Can I pay for your time to learn how you do things? So he's now like a mentoring client in that sense.
Yeah.
And that all came from just me telling him that simple advice of show up every day, be prepared to work, and talk to people. Like, it's the easiest thing to do, but we're scared of that for some reason.
Exactly, man. And I think, like, even when you're sitting down, and like I say this in my coaching classes and my course for personal trainers, it's like, when you're sitting down there and you got really nothing to do, like, create content right then and there, like in the gym, you know. And what you could be sitting there editing or doing a Facebook post or an Instagram story or whatnot, you're still on location, you're still on site, but you're killing two birds with one stone. You're now being seen by everyone in the gym where you're working, and now you're going to be seen all online. And that could be, like, how many people could that be potentially? Like, you could be seen by hundreds of people all at once, 200 people in the gym and also 300 people online. So it's like, you're killing two birds with one stone. So it's super important to be productive when you are sitting there. Don't just sit there and look at your phone and procrastinate. And then you got to make sure that you're approachable at the same time. You know, because you get some personal trainers who kind of switch off and they don't look welcoming. So you've got to have that attitude and welcoming kind of standpoint. And that's probably what you did at the start.
Yeah, 100%, mate. And speaking to the content you're talking about creating, like, if you create content that is actually fucking good, like, the gym will want to share that, and that puts you out on a platform where you're already in front of all the members. Like, for example, one of the videos that we recorded for the Bulgarian split squat for the exercise library for clients a few months ago, we made an Instagram version, which Doherty's Perth shared. And then like 2 weeks ago, I got another notification saying, oh, Doherty's has shared it. And I was like, why has Doherty shared this again? Like, I'm pretty sure they put it up before. It was the main Doherty's page, which covers all the gyms in Melbourne. And,
that's,
you know,
sick.
It goes to show you that, you know, everything you do, like, not only is it shared by Doherty's Perth, which have an awesome traction, an awesome page, and a really good following, but then it's shared by the main Doherty's page, which is the one Tony's on all the time, and the one that, you know, more people probably follow because it's the main page.
Yeah, definitely.
For like, you know, international people, all that, like, it just gives me more and more exposure from nowhere. It was a post that I made 8 weeks ago and they just hit the repost button and bam.
That's a great tip for social media, is like leverage other people's networks. So tag people, share people, go on the location hashtags or the tags and then research, okay, who's actually going to Doherty's or who's actually going to my gym? Look at all the content that people are tagging in. And then that's like your whole prospect list right there that you can reach out to and be like, hey, how's it going? How's the squat going? Or how's your leg press going? Or how's whatever this is? And just start those conversations. Cause once you have the conversations, conversations lead to clients. That's what I like to say. The more conversations you have, the more clients you have. So super important there. And I got it going back to when you were like, oh, I wanted to work at Doherty's. What's like, for people coming into the industry, say personal trainers, like they're just finishing up with their cert 3 and 4, and they're like, if they came up to you, Owen, was like, oh, I don't really know where to work, do you have any tips in terms of like where I should work? Like, do you have any kind of direction or like answers to kind of give those people who don't really know where they want to work?
Probably try the gyms. For example, we live in Scarborough, so obviously when I was doing my recce round, well, I've went everywhere for job interviews in that 3 weeks. We were considering Rockingham because that's where my missus had to work at the start. So I had 2 job interviews down there. But when we decided on Scarborough, obviously there's Revo in Scarborough, which is like 5-10 minute walk from anywhere you'd live in Scarborough, probably. You got Good Life in Innaloo. You've now got the big Revo in Innaloo. But like, I went to these gyms. I tried the equipment. I'm not going to say which one, but one of them had a really shit leg press and leg curl. And I was like, fuck, I don't even want to use this for one workout, never mind train clients on it. So that one kind of like went out the window instantly, even though it was a good gym. I'm not going to name names or anything, but I tried the equipment and I was like, I can't even enjoy training this myself, never mind standing next to somebody watching them train. Like, right. Whereas when I knew I wanted to work at Doherty's, it was just based off the reputation. And whenever I went in and seen the gym, I was like, oh shit, like this is legit, like some of the best equipment you could see, like everything just moves well. If you train on the equipment in there, everything just goes super smoothly. And there's lots of gyms I haven't checked out in Perth, but like for me, there's no gym that's going to come close to Doherty's and what that gym represents in terms of the community, the friendliness, the equipment, the vibe, the music, everything all just comes together for a little perfect atmosphere. And it just worked out perfect. But the main thing is for somebody who doesn't have that conviction of, no, this based off reputation and like the bodybuilding connection, that was probably what drew me in. But if I was coming here and Doherty's wasn't here, it would have been trying all these gyms, going down, having an interview, having a workout after, seeing how you feel, seeing how the rent is, seeing like even little things like how long you can get rent free as signing up. Like some gyms will maybe have like 4 weeks where there's no rent, 4 weeks where there's half rent, or 6 weeks, 6 weeks, and then you pay a full rent after that. Some might have where you've got 3 months where you pay nothing and then you go to half rent. Every gym's different. Some gyms might just say, now you join up, you pay your full rent straight away. It doesn't really matter. But it's all these little things that you need to consider, like, where is the gym? Like, is there housing nearby? Is it businesses? What times is the gym busy? If you don't want to work evenings and the gym's only busy in the evening, then it's going to be quite hard for you to build up a morning clientele, or vice versa. If it's really busy in the morning, but you love a sleeping, then you're going to have trouble filling your diary in the evening because if it's a work, people might not want to go after work, for example. They might drive home and go to a gym closer to home. And it's all these little things that you probably have to consider as well. And it's probably stuff that I would have considered more had I not went all in and just sent that message or made that phone call to the Damon Doherty's and said, no, listen, I want to come on board. Like, have you guys got room for me?
That's awesome, man. So it's like, that's actually a lot of good tips, man, in terms of like, okay, check out the demographic. Okay, where is the gym located? Is there traffic coming through? What times are the traffic coming through? Even how are the people training? Because the way that people train will tell you a lot. And opportunities, you know, if there's a lot of people jumping on the elliptical machine or walking like the treadmill and they look kind of scared about, you know, the gym floor, that could be a massive opportunity, you know, like, yeah. So there's just like reading the audience and the demographic that's coming in. And I love it how it's pretty much try before you buy. You walk into the gym, you don't just kind of look at them on the website and be like, this is a place that has got a job offering, I'll go, like, I'll apply. You got to go in, check them out, and ask those critical questions. How much is rent? You know, what's the call-off period, or, you know, the contracts, the payment systems, all that sort of stuff before you kind of dive in to the deep end. And then, you know, if you're locked into a contract and you're not happy with it there, you're kind of screwed until the contract's ended. So I think they're really good points, man. And I think for the last kind of tip I need from you for this audience is, because you're now pretty much, are you 100% online now? Like, or you're kind of, what are you kind of doing? Are you full-time online?
It's probably like 95% online. So before COVID, I was doing 40, 50 clients online, plus still 20 to 30 hours of PT. And yeah, I was fucking smashed. Like, in hindsight, like, I was probably the only PT in Perth who was like, yeah, just fucking close the gyms, because I can do it. I thought it was going to be for 2 weeks. Here's the thing, though. I thought it was going to be for 2 weeks. I was like, I could do with a lie-in for a week or two till we get over this coronavirus shit, right? So I was like, sweet, I get a couple of weeks off, you know, whatever. Most of my business was online still. So I was like, yeah, I can do this. Just move the 30 sessions to online rates. Obviously, it lasted longer than that. So I was kind of craving for the gym at the end of it. But I was smashed doing those hours, because you'd be in the gym, even though I'd still finish by lunchtime, I still have to train. I'd still have to come home, and maybe there's check-ins to do or plans to write. And then I want to see the family, which was a big driver for me as well. Like, you'll notice my content, like, after Evie was born or in the weeks leading up to it, like, increased massively, because now I've got to provide for my daughter as well as my wife. So it's like all the lifestyle, the amazing stuff that Australian life provides, I want to give to my family. I want to build a secure future. So you notice that the professionalism, if you go back far enough on my Instagram, like, it kicks up a notch, rather than just pictures of me and training. Like, it's more about marketing, about messaging, about talking about client stuff. But yeah, it was the stage where I was just too pumped. And then now it's probably 90, 95% on. I think I do 5 sessions a week in the gym. And that's literally by my choosing. It's like, I've got clients before I train, right after I train, and then I go home.
That's awesome.
It's like, it's easy. 2 days a week, I do 5 sessions. The rest is all online. So,
yeah, because you must get hit up all the time from personal trainers who are doing the face-to-face sessions. And there's a big, I get hit up all the time with, hey, man, like, when should I know that I can go on full online? And 2, how do I get more online people? So when should someone know that they can expand into online, I should say?
So here's the thing. If you're coming out with just a qualification, you know absolute jack shit about communication, what a client needs. Like, when you work with them one-on-one, you develop a relationship, right? Same way, Luke, you come once a month, you do videos with me, we develop a relationship through the continuing work, right? But if you've never, like, had that with somebody, you don't know how to build that rapport. And here's the thing with online, it's faceless. It's with a face to an extent, but, like, a lot of the time it's texting. It's like, you don't have any face-to-face time to really get to know the person. It's very hard to build that connection online if you don't already know how to do it in person. And also, they'll be giving you little cues and little feedback, I should say, probably not cues, on things that are going wrong with maybe their lifts, maybe things that lifestyle that they're presented with. And if you haven't dealt with that in person, had that conversation with a client in person, it's probably going to be harder for you to work out what's wrong with them online. Whereas if you do a couple of years PT in first, or a combination of both, you can see what happens when somebody gets back pain on RDL. Maybe they're hunching forward too much and not pushing their hips back, or, you know, maybe their grip strength isn't up to par because, you know, their grip's off, or they need to change to a slightly different grip for deadlifts or whatever it is. But you might not know that if you don't have the experience in person. So first of all, you need to have that experience of working with somebody, and you can't just jump in. Like, first of all, you've got no buy-in. People buy into people who have fucking credibility, right? Whether that's with their physique, whether it's with their knowledge, whether that's with the results, people buy into credibility. If you're just coming out of this course and you're like, I want to be an online coach so I can sit at home. But here's the other thing. I'm going to throw this in before we go any further. You're essentially signing up for an office job, because you're going to be sitting in front of your laptop. You're going to be sitting like programming, check-ins. Like if you get anywhere near like 10 clients, online clients, fucking breeze. You get up to 50, 60. I know some coaches who have over 100 online clients. That is a fucking desk job. And that's like just the equivalent, if not worse, than your 9 to 5, because you've got to motivate yourself to do it. And most likely, like through that door there, if Evie was here, I'd be hearing her outside. And like, you want to go play with your daughter, you want to see your wife, but you got to pull yourself away to do this shit, which makes it even harder than going to a fucking office for 9 to 5, because you got to stop all the fun stuff downstairs and say, I've got to go up and write somebody's plan, or I've got to jump on a call or do a check-in or whatever it is. So don't just think that you have to go online, I guess, because you will give up something. Like if you really love the one-to-one stuff and you love that communication and actually getting your hands on people and moving them around, you can just stay as a, you don't need to do online. Just because everyone is doing online now, it doesn't mean you have to. So you got to weigh up, is it the right thing for you? But in terms of when's the best time to go online, well, one, you've got enough money coming in from PT that then you can afford to either not take on any new clients or drop a few PT clients to make room for online. You want to have a little bit of a reputation, like I said, and you want to make sure that it's actually what you want to do, I guess, is the best way to describe it. But you probably know when the best time is probably now. If you're thinking about it and you've been thinking about it long enough, just fucking try it, right? You might end up being like, nah, I crave the gym environment too much, or it could be the best thing ever, but you don't need to do it just because everyone else is doing it or because it's a cool thing. Because like I said, it will be an office job at some stage when you get busy enough. And then you're just trading your time in the gym with clients for time in front of the laptop like this.
Yeah, that's really good points, man. And I think like it's funny with coronavirus and all that sort of stuff happening at the start of the year, you know, a lot of people, because obviously I specialize in fitness marketing and content creation and social media marketing, and a lot of PTs were saying, oh yeah, like, I'm happy with, you know, face-to-face clients. I'm happy with my 20, 30 sessions a week. I don't want any more. Like, I don't want to create content. I don't want to go online. And then all of a sudden C-19 happened, and then like, now they're out of work, they can't do anything, they can't train anyone, so they had no backups. And they were the same people who were asking me at the start of the year, hey man, like, so how do I move to online now? And it's like, dude, like, this is like a 6-month project, you know. You can't just start it up and just expect people to kind of flock to you, because now obviously the space is very competitive now, because, you know, through those few months of, you know, not training people face to face, a lot of people had to go online. So now it's more competitive than ever. So in terms of coming off of that point, the last point I want to make is, since it is competitive, and say someone is 100% committed and they're like, okay, I'm happy with my one-on-one sessions now, but I want to expand into the space. What's a great way of kind of transitioning from people coming up to them and saying, hey, I want to do a one-on-one session, to, oh, hey, you can do that, or you can go on my online programming. Like, what's the transition period look like? Do you just go straight out, hey, I don't have any face-to-face clients or spots now, but I do have spots online, or is it a different method that you used?
Yeah, I guess, and this is conversations I've had with other trainers about here who are in the same position, who are maybe saying, hey, oh, listen, like, you're doing 40, 50 online clients. Like, I'm doing half of that. Everyone just wants PT. How do I handle the inquiries? One way to do that is to make it a prerequisite. If they're on your waiting list for a PT slot and you've only got limited amounts, they have to do online to get on that waiting list, where it's like you're saying to them, listen, we're going to start you today online. You're top of the list. You're first on the list as soon as a spot comes up at the time you want, but we've got to start laying the basis now. Otherwise, we're wasting a couple of months, right? And that can short-term increase your online coach. And it might even convince that client, if you're good enough online, to stay online. But worst case scenario, if they still really want one-to-one, because you got to remember, certain people will want one-to-one and they'll only want one-to-one. They want that push. They might not even want the fucking result. They might just want the workout for an hour because they might struggle to get to the gym, but having you and paying you $100, $150, $70, whatever the price is for your 45 minutes, like, that might be all they want. They might not want online coaching and Google Drive and My PT Hub and all these other apps that you can use for online coaching. But one way to do that is to just say to them, listen, I can put you on that waiting list for PT, but you're going to have to start coaching now with online. and then it gets them started, gets the ball moving. They can maybe drop a couple of kilos by the time 4 weeks comes, and maybe you've got a spot there, and maybe they'll stay online, maybe they won't, who knows. But that's one way that I find that probably will just encourage people, right? If you really want on O's list, on Lukey's list, whatever, it just means that they start now rather than waiting.
I love
because
that.
Because here's, don't give them an offer, right? They just want PT. What if they end up going to shit PT and hurting themselves when they could have just went on your online? You give them all the support you can online, and then they eventually get in and don't hurt themselves because you're teaching them how to do everything properly in the gym. But in terms of like the time scale, I think like I was talking about Liam earlier, who came to me, he started out fresh. He was like, right, I'm doing 30, 40 sessions a week. I need to learn systems. I need to learn marketing to an extent. I need to learn how you program things. Can I learn from you all this sort of stuff? You need to have those systems in place. And that doesn't mean they've got to be my systems. Doesn't mean they need to be your systems, but you need to have some sort of a system in terms of when somebody signs up, what do they get? What order do they get it in? How do you deliver that? How do you communicate with them? Like, for example, right in front of me here, I've got two things. A price list for when I'm on a call and I can't remember the exact numbers to sign up for coaching. And I've also got the new client sign up. And it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of what I need to do. The minute they sign up, it's like, right, welcome email, logins, Facebook group, Instagram, Google Drive, all these little things. It's like a checklist for me to run through. And that's my system to get them started up. And then they send their forms back to me. Within 48 hours, you're going to have their plan ready because that's the standard that I like to uphold. Whereas if they send it by the time I say 48 hours, like, and I tell them, not including weekends, if you sign up on a Thursday and you don't get it to me till a Saturday, well, sorry, I'm taking Saturday, Sunday off. So 48 hours starts on the Monday. And just be clear with them about what to expect, what you need to do. And with the marketing, it's literally, if you haven't done it before online, get people in for like, you know, friends. Like if, mate, if I was just starting online now and you're my marketing guy, I'd be like, look, my marketing guy needs to go through a transformation with me to show what's possible. I'd grab my mate from down the road. I'd grab my auntie, my cousin, my mom, whatever your target is. It's not going to be bodybuilders and physique competitors if you're an unknown online coach. So just pick a random assortment of people, train them for free for 8 weeks, or literally put up an offer for online coaching on your Instagram, like a sort of 8 week shred, super early bird offer, then full price. Something like that's a good way to just to build it because you're getting some people in for cheap to start it off. You get, even if you get 10 people on that package and you get two killer transformations, even if 8 people fall off, you've got two case studies to prove that in 8 to 12 weeks, you can get them that bloody result, right? And then you can just build from there. And somebody sees that and says, well, I want some of that. Then you get another person and then build from there. And referrals, obviously, if you do good work, people will come to you.
Love that.
They'll send friends. They'll send their wife. They'll send their sister. They'll send their brother-in-law. They'll send their mom. They'll send their dad. Just do good work. Be educated and be smart about business. Remember, it's business. Think of social media as business media. That's the best tip that I've ever heard. It's my personal page. It's Oren McCary, at Oren McCary on Instagram, but it's everything about me. It's my daughter. It's about my training. It's about my clients. It's about my mindset. It's about any mad thought that comes into my head. Like yesterday, one of the most popular polls I've ever put up, and I do this probably once every year. Do you eat the kiwi with the skin on or skin off? And people, the amount of DMs I get from people saying either you're an absolute monster if you eat that with the skin on, or it's like, yeah, team skin. It's like, so much out of the littlest things, and you'd be surprised all these little random things that you can do on your social media that aren't business related, but it creates those conversations that then build forward. So think of it as business media, where everything you do is professional, it's with your values, it's with your standards, it's with everything that you need, and just be yourself, because people aren't going to buy into if it's a fucking fake, right?
Yeah, love that, dude. That is some seriously good points, man. So we're going to have to wrap this up, but where can people find you, like to reach out to you if they need help with personal training or online coaching or even mentoring and stuff like that in that case? Where can people find you?
So probably Instagram's the best. funny spelling name, so I'll spell it at Oran McCorry, which is O-D-H-R-A-N-M-C-C-O-R-R-Y. Or if you go, I'm pretty sure you follow me. So if you go on a Lukey's profile, click who he follows and you type in Coach O, it should come up there in his, even just O. Type in O, there's not going to be that many people whose username starts with O. So yeah. You'll find me on there. And that's probably the best thing. Just reach out into the DMs about coaching, about mentoring, about even if it's just a little bit of advice on something you've heard here and you're like, bro, what did you mean by that? Just hit me up and I'll do my best to help out and we can go from there.
Love it, man. Thank you so much for coming on the first guest podcast for the Luke Simon Show, man. I appreciate it, dude. It's good speaking to you. Thank you so much, man. I'll speak to you soon.